I'm Callie Crossley. This is Boston Public Radio. We're continuing our 30 Issues in 30 Days election coverage with a focus on housing for the elderly. Joining me in Studio 3 is someone who's been working on this for decades. That's Anna Bissonette. She's a nurse. She's a founder and board member of HEARTH, formerly called the Committee to End Elder Homelessness. Anna Bissonette, thank you for joining us.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
I really hate starting these conversations with these grim statistics, but I think it helps people understand what we're talking about. 9 million retired Americans are struggling to cover basic living expenses, with housing being the primary expense. And the seniors who are very vulnerable are coming up short. In Massachusetts, the median income of retired residents 65 or older is just under $17,000. For those who don't know, that's $10,000 short of what one study estimates it costs for basic necessities like food and shelter. So that's the context for this conversation and for what should be an issue on the election trail. From you, Anna Bissonette, I'd like to know, who are the elderly who are in need of housing, and how do they get to that point?
Well, in my experience, the elders who find themselves homeless or at risk of homelessness are people just like you and me. People who have had a downturn in their lives, they've lost their loved ones who have helped support them in the past, who have helped pay the rent, the vital necessities. And honest to goodness, I'm a public health nurse, and I can't believe when you mentioned the election cycle that we're in, I am stunned by the fact that I haven't heard a word about housing, about homelessness, about our elders. I've been working with homeless elders for over 30 years. How did I find them? As a public health nurse working at Boston University, we had a home care program, and our neighborhood was the South End. There were 5,000 rooming house rooms in the South End at the time that we were serving these people. One by one, 10 by 10, were being given their eviction notices by the new landlords who had bought up the brownstones. If you know the South End, I think you know it quite well.
Mm-hmm.
And the elders who had been living on their modest means with their hot plate down the hall and a toilet that they shared with others in the rooming house thought, well, oh, I'll take the eviction notice. That's no problem. I'll just go down the street and apply for another room. It didn't take long in the 80s for there to be no other rooms for them to seek.
So a lot of these people ended up being homeless.
Exactly. They're our patients. We in the home medical service were seeing them at home, keeping them healthy. And then they would produce their eviction notice. What were we to do? So we said, we got to do something. So in a word or less, we started a program that would be for transitional housing. The housing authority had some apartments that in the South End were gone vacant. There was a high prostitution rate, drug rate, and all that. But so the housing authority helped us out. We filled those units in nothing flat. The housing shelters, Pine Street Inn and other housing shelters, learned that we could take and actually house people. So they were sending us people also who had found themselves in the shelters and needed to be housed. So then we said, we've got to do more. So we started to create our own housing. In 1990, it took us only 9 months to take an old rooming house in Jamaica Plain and make it into housing for 9 elderly women. And just the other day, I ran into one of the ladies who has been living there ever since 1990. You can successfully take people off the street and have them live independently with dignity if you have the resources.
Well, that's the big question, if you have the resources.
Exactly.
I think it's important for people to understand something that, the assumption may be wrong, and that is that Social Security would cover housing costs. In fact, in most states, it does not. But even in those states in where it does cover it, you're left with so little on the other side for basic necessities like food.
Exactly.
So we are really talking about housing as being, a negative game changer in the total lives of people who are in the twilight of their of their lives. And they have, as you say, no place to go. So why is it that we have heard, because if we talk about Social Security, that is a safety net, quote unquote, question. And I should point out that that 9 million figure came from a study done by Wider Opportunities for Women earlier this year. And they're focused on economic opportunities for America's families with a goal of trying to get people to understand the critical necessity of the safety net, such as it is, Social Security, Medicare. But that's not covering it for people.
It's not. What we need is federally subsidized housing. In 1980, we had millions of low-income housing units. After 5 years in the White House, Mr. Reagan succeeded in reducing the number of low-income housing units by 5 million units, so that that number of units, actually 3.3 million units of housing, were lost each year during his administration. The funding was cut, and you know that that funding has never been replaced. People can live on their Social Security if they can live in a subsidized unit, which requires 30% of their income to be applied to their rent. The rest of their income can apply to the rest of their daily needs. If you don't have subsidized housing for people who are living solely on their Social Security, we're just going to see an ever-growing number of homeless people. And and it's the chronically homeless. We have people now in their 60s joining the group of people that you would normally think of elderly being in their 70s and 80s and all that. We're talking now of a younger population that is totally dependent on public support. And we don't have that public support, and they want to cut the public support. I don't know. It's hard for me as a passionate person in this area to understand the apathy that I see visible across the country, across the state, that doesn't recognize. I mean, don't they see people?
Well, a lot of it is invisible, to your point, Anna Bissonnette, and I just want to alert people to who you are again. Anna Bissonnette's a nurse, and she's a founder and board member of HEARTH, which formerly called the Committee to End Elder Homelessness, and her battle is to find housing for elderly homeless. I think if people hear homeless, they have a vision in their mind of, you know, people wandering the streets in tattered clothing. But you've just made a statement that I think people need to hear again and hear and again from another study. In 2008, sheltered homeless persons were 16%. These are 51 years, people who are 51 years and older. So you mentioned 60. That's coming down closer to 51. And it's not people who are in their 80s. It's starting younger.
Exactly.
And it's harder because New England particularly is very expensive.
Well, they talk about unemployment. I mean, you try to be 51, lose your job, and gain employment. You may make hamburgers or something over at McDonald's, and probably that's not going to be available either. The competition for those jobs is heavy. So that the problem is exacerbating. There are people who are working, like there's a program in Massachusetts, MHASA, the Massachusetts Housing and Shelter Association. I think you've met Joe Finn.
Mm-hmm.
They're working very hard on a new program, which is Housing for Good, and taking the people from shelters and not providing maybe the full-blown services that we do at HEARTH, because our population tends to be older and more physically needy, more mentally health needy, and we need to have the support services in-house to keep them safely housed. Now, there are other programs that are using other resources, and I think home and healthy program is working and reducing the number of people you find in the shelters.
But here's the thing. All of these programs are valiant and worthy, but as you pointed out at the beginning, you're talking about small numbers of people that you can end up being able to help with the resources that you're able to garner.
Right.
And that there has to be an overall political will. We started there. No conversation about this. And probably because one man's or woman's safety net is another one's entitlement program. I mean, that's what it's coming down to in terms of the political rhetoric of, and I think the elderly housing problem probably falls right there at the heart of it. So some people may see that the need for Social Security and Medicare is really important to the everyday living of seniors 51 years and older who are struggling to find housing. But for other people, we got to cut somewhere, and that's where they want to go. Yet you've said that though it costs something to house people, it costs less to the rest of the community if they are housed. Absolutely. Make the case why these people need to be housed, must be housed, in order for our entire community to be better off.
Well, you know, you've heard a lot of talk lately about Medicaid and how they probably want to state grant the Medicaid program. What is keeping Medicaid costs down right now in Massachusetts is programs such as ours. If we don't have a program that provides the health and social services, people go to nursing homes. And we're actually taking people out of nursing homes. There are people in nursing homes, if they only had that different level of service and housing, could make it without the incredible cost of nursing home care. Now, that, I think, is a defining moment in terms of, I don't know, I don't like these gobbledygook terms, entitlements or whatever. I think that housing, safe housing, needs to be a right for every citizen in this country, as it is in other countries. I spend time in France. I don't see people sleeping on street corners and in ATM enclosures as I do here. It has not ended. People still walk over sleeping bodies on the sidewalks. It's not an entitlement. We don't see that these programs and these services are keeping body and soul together. That's not a luxury. It's not an entitlement. It's humanity. And that's what's lacking in the conversation, in the debates today, is human dignity and caring for one another. I mean, they say, oh, well, let's just leave it to people to care for one another. Give a little more money to the churches and the other organizations who are now strapped beyond belief. I mean, Project Bread, all of these food programs can't keep up with the demand. What kind of a country is this that isn't debating these issues day after day and leaving it to the mercy of people? I mean, I'm getting old.
Well, Anna Bissonnette, you know, one of the reasons that all of the programs that you mentioned are doubled up and straining is because a lot of people formerly middle class and now in the specific population you're talking about, elderly who could possibly be vulnerable to homelessness, these are all people who worked.
That's right.
And who have worked. And they're not, you know, what you may have in your image of, you know, well, who are these people that can't find housing? We're talking about affordability. Let me remind people that the New England states make up 5 of the top 10 most expensive places to live. So right away, you already have a higher bar to meet just to make it. And then if you're talking about cramping on some of the ways in which the programs that have supported people, it really gets very tough. Last question to you. It's scarce and getting scarcer, as we've said. What's your prediction for what might happen, let's say, next 5 years if it keeps at this pace?
I guess I was just talking to the gentleman who was here before. We are a crisis-oriented society. Until we see the blood actually going down the streets, until there are more people sleeping on sidewalks and in alleys that we can more than we can comfortably accept.
Mm-hmm.
Then we'll do something. That's too late. We need to take an approach that is preventative. We need to create more housing. Our latest housing development in Dorchester took 7 years to develop, and the first one took 9 months. Funding, tax credits, subsidies are more and more difficult to access. We got to do more, and we got to do it now.
Thank you so much, Anna Bissonnette, nurse, founder, and board member of HEARTH, formerly called the Committee to End Elder Homelessness. It was our 30-30 election coverage topic today, elderly and the housing. And thank you for joining us for another edition of Boston Public Radio. Tune in tomorrow for our weekend review. We'll go over tonight's VP debate and some of the smaller stories that went under the radar. That's noon to 2 tomorrow. I'm Callie Crossley. Boston Public Radio is a production of WGBH.